From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue the series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Our belief in God's wisdom supposes and necessitates that he has a settled purpose and plan in the work of salvation. What would creation have been without his design? Is there a fish in the sea or a fowl in the air which was left to chance for its formation? Nay, in every bone, joint, and muscle, sinew, gland, and blood vessel, you mark the presence of a God working everything according to the design of infinite wisdom. And shall God be present in creation, ruling over all, and not in grace? Shall the new creation have the fickle genius of free will to preside over it when divine counsel rules the old creation? Look at providence. Who knoweth not that not a sparrow falleth to the ground without your Father? Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. God weighs the mountains of our grief in scales, and the hills of our tribulation in balances. And shall there be a God in providence, and not in grace? Shall the shell be ordained by wisdom, and the kernel be left to blind chance? No. He knows the end from the beginning. He sees in its appointed place not merely the cornerstone which he has laid in fair colors, in the blood of his dear Son, but he beholds in their ordained position each of the chosen stones, taken out of the quarry of nature and polished by his grace. He sees the whole from corner to cornice, from base to roof, from foundation to pinnacle. He hath in his mind a clear knowledge of every stone which shall be laid in its prepared space, and how vast the edifice shall be, and when the top stone shall be brought forth with shoutings of grace, grace unto it. At last it shall be clearly seen that in every chosen vessel of mercy Jehovah did as he willed with his own, and that in every part of the work of grace he accomplished his purpose and glorified his own name.
Oh,
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Romans, bringing the final portion of a message called The Restoration of Israel, an exposition of chapter 11. Because of its idolatry and apostasy, God rejected Israel. Yet God had made a covenant with Israel through Abraham, and he would keep that promise. In the 11th chapter of Romans, Paul proves that God's rejection of Israel is neither final nor total. God's purpose of grace will be fulfilled. God had promised Abraham that in his seed all families of the earth would be blessed. As Dr. Cairns explains, that promise is the key to understanding what Paul termed the fullness of the Gentiles. The gospel will bring salvation to the Gentiles, Israel will be gathered in, and both will enjoy God's promise of millennial blessing. The result is that God will be glorified for what he has accomplished. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, The Restoration of Israel.
Romans 11 demands millennial blessing. Watch it again very carefully. Verse 12, verse 15, verse 32. If the fall of the Jews be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Verse 32, that God might have mercy upon all. And any scheme that sees no restoration for Israel that will lead to a spiritual enrichment for the whole world is wrong. I believe that effectively removes amillennial schemes from all eschatological investigation. Now, both postmillennialism and premillennialism see worldwide blessing following the restoration of Israel. In that they agree. But there's this very important distinction. According to postmillennialism, The restoration of Israel comes a long time. Some believe a literal 1,000 years, some believe a prolonged time. The restoration of Israel comes a long time before the second coming, which is post-millennial. It's after the millennium, whether a literal 1,000 years or a long period. So the restoration of Israel, according to post-millennialism, comes, say, 1,000 years or a long time before the second coming of Christ. But according to what we have read tonight, the restoration of Israel comes at and as a consequence of the second coming of Christ. Revelation 1 verse 7, they look on him whom they have pierced. What we have read tonight already in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, at that time of great mourning, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Revelation 1:7 makes it clear that's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that day, Zechariah 13:1, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So what does that mean? Well, it means what I've been telling you all these years, that the only biblical scheme of eschatological interpretation is premillennial. And if that sounds dogmatic, it's intended to. So this is good for dealing with controversy. What we have read tonight, we should look upon as speaking to the issue of our confidence. Here's God's program for the future of the nations. And I want you to see something. The gospel will never cease to have its effect. The gospel is going to penetrate the Gentile nations. I don't say all those nations are going to be saved, but God has a people in them. And as among the Jews there is a remnant, there will be a remnant there. And again, if I may bring in the 7th of Revelation, at the very end, there will be such an explosion of spiritual power as that a great number which no man can number, a great multitude out of every tribe and tongue and kindred and nation, will be gloriously converted to Christ. Oh, the gospel will be preached in every nation, and Jesus is coming again. The Jews will be restored and received, and then shall we see the fullness of the gospel. Tonight we are living to see the gospel have its triumphs, and what triumphs we have to celebrate. Was not Pentecost a glorious triumph? Was not the Reformation a glorious triumph? Were not the mighty revivals that rocked England and America glorious triumphs? Yes, we have seen the triumphs. But as even Christian theologians at times have lamented, those triumphs seem to be so quickly swallowed up, engulfed in the ever-rising tide of wickedness in the nation. Let me tell you, there's a day coming when we will see the fullness of the gospel, and it will make everything that we have ever seen thus far seem like death, and it will be like resurrection. Then shall be fulfilled the words of Isaiah chapter 11 verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. We may use what we have read tonight for our comfort. Verse 29, I said, is one of the most outstanding verses in all the Bible. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And that wonderful promise holds just as true for you as an individual believer as it does for the Jewish people. All upon whom God sets his purpose of grace may rejoice in this. His gifts and his calling are irrevocable. I am the Lord, he says in Malachi 3 verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why do Christians not perish? Because they never fail? No, sir. Because they're supernaturally strong? No, sir. Because Jehovah does not change. As we read in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Thank God we come to this passage and we look at Israel and we see the purpose of God on track and we say, thank God, there's comfort there for me. If you're a Christian here tonight and you're going through a rough and rocky period, the devil would come and hiss with the hiss of the serpent in your ear to tell you God has given you up. You might be saved, but you'll not make it finally to heaven. Just remember this, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Now we come to the great conclusion. Read verses 33 to 36. May I invite you to memorize verses 33 to 36. Ponder these verses and let them fashion your thinking. Here is the great conclusion. Do you notice immediately the end of all doctrine? Not just Romans 11, but the whole final section of Romans. This is the summary of it all. The end of all doctrine, especially the study of the gospel, is worship. That's the purpose. We have been a long time looking at this doctrine of free justification, the imputed righteousness of Christ, the merits of Christ and made over to us fully to make us acceptable to God. I trust that having traversed this great tract of biblical doctrine, you are brought to the feet of the Lord Jehovah to worship. There are three elements in the worship. The greatness of God, verses 33 and 34. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. He's all-knowing. He's all-wise. His judgments unsearchable, his ways untraceable. He's absolutely dependent upon none. The greatness of God. The grace of God, verse 35. Who hath first given to him, that is to put him under obligation, and it shall be recompense to him again. Have we not learned in Romans that there's nobody can place God under obligation? There's nobody can say, I have earned salvation. I have earned nothing but hell. But Christ has earned the crown of glory for all his believing people. And then there is the glory of God. What a statement. Of him, that is from him, he is the source of all things. And through him, he is the sustainer of all things. And to him, he is the supreme goal of all things. To him be glory forever. Can I say to you tonight that if your conception of the gospel has not brought you to your face in humiliation before God, from the depths of your agony to cry, to him be all the glory, then you have never known the gospel. This is what the gospel does. To him be all the glory. I trust that God will write it upon our hearts. Some of us thought we would never reach the end of the what's called the doctrinal section. You'll find there's a whole lot of doctrine and what's left of Romans. It starts with the gospel of God, chapter 1. It ends with the glory of God, chapter 11, 36. Are you in that olive tree? Are you in Christ? Are you one of those redeemed? Are you one of those who say, I can't place God under obligation, but I do receive the free gift of His grace? To Him I give the glory. Make sure you're in Christ. Nothing else will do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we would indeed ascribe all glory unto Thy holy name. Of Thee, through Thee, and to Thee are all things. And, O Lord, we would be willing instruments of Thy praise and of Thy glory. We pray that indeed Thou wilt so fill our minds with the successful operation of God's purpose of grace in Christ, so that all Israel shall be saved, and her restoration shall bring in a time of life and vitality and millennial fullness under the glorious reign of the returned Christ, as human minds can hardly conceive. Oh God, we pray, so fill our hearts with this, that we may truly be caught up in the ecstasy of the apostle in the Isle of Patmos when he longed for the coming of the Savior and he cried, even so, come Lord Jesus. Father in heaven, bless Thy word to stir up our hearts to seek to win Jews and Gentiles now for Christ, to be willing to be that remnant testimony, standing valiantly for the truth against the encroaching tides of apostasy and wickedness. O God, stir our hearts through this truth and keep us faithful right to the very end. Visit us, Lord, with mighty outpourings of Thy Spirit. And O Lord, let us see a great number brought in, for we believe that Thou art able to do it. But we are encouraged that even though we're in a day of remnant testimony, the day of fullness, the fullness of the gospel, when the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters do the sea, that day is certainly approaching. Let it come. Let it come. And let it come soon. Part us now with Thy blessing, and keep us in the fear and in the joy of the Lord, faithful to Christ in all things. We pray in Jesus' name.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.